like to present to you today is, and it's a good segue from the last presentation, we're looking at healthcare reform strategies, and what we thought we'd give you is a practical demonstration of patient-centered programs in Rhode Island's healthcare community. Today we're hoping to demonstrate how Neighborhood Health Plan and the state of Rhode Island are effectively implementing changes to the delivery of health services that improve health outcomes and improve cost efficiency. And of course, neither of us have any relationships to disclose. So, after the Affordable Care Act was passed, many states began to implement the Act's early requirements. It was clear, however, that some lessons learned in Massachusetts must not be repeated. I wrote an article back in 2009 that unfortunately was published, and my key point was that the implementation of healthcare policy would occur at the grassroots level throughout healthcare organizations, large and small, and that there are many examples of how past attempts at to legislate our way to better healthcare systems had failed. We know that in Massachusetts, they've had incredible difficulty in controlling the cost of healthcare. They've done a great job with insuring the population, but in terms of controlling the cost, they weren't quite prepared for all of the additional enrollees that they experienced. Senator Daschle actually mentioned Sunday, and I think it was mentioned again here today, that we need to transition from a volume orientation to a values-based orientation. And I think that that's exactly, in many respects, where Massachusetts missed the boat. They were paying fee-for-service for their, and basically it was a volume-oriented business in Massachusetts, which I'm happy to say they're changing now. In Rhode Island, as in many other states, the state-level implementation is being taken very seriously. The governor and legislature in Rhode Island is very involved in and supportive of healthcare reform. They've established a 150-member high-level commission of stakeholders from across the state who really can impact and understand the implications of health reform. And they've also, the lieutenant governor has been assigned, it's her primary task, to transition healthcare in Rhode Island. Rhode Island also uses the IHI's triple aim and Medicare's triple aim concept. I'm not sure how many are familiar with that. It focuses on improving health of the population, improving the experience of care, and reducing the per capita cost of care. I mentioned we work at Neighborhood Health Plan of Rhode Island. We have 90,000 members, which is actually, in terms of states, pretty small. 90,000 Medicaid members, but that represents nearly 10% of Rhode Island's population. And we're considered the number 8 Medicaid health insurance plan in the country, so we're very proud of that. There are two critical elements of our mission. One is to help transform healthcare delivery as an essential partner with the state's Medicaid program. The other is to actively engage our members in their healthcare. We wanted to just focus on, well, we like to focus on a lot of different programs, but we chose one to focus on today. That program is Transitions of Care. Transitions of Care is a study that demonstrates some very positive outcomes for us and for our stakeholders, those being our members, our providers, and the citizens of the state of Rhode Island. These strategies could not be accomplished without a close relationship with those stakeholders, and that's something that we've learned through this process, that we really have to keep our stakeholders closely aligned when we're doing changes in health reform. Today, we want to not only focus on the program, but also on the tools that we're using. Those include evidence-based tools to implement strategies and also best practices from across the country that we're using in the Transitions of Care program. So our program goals are to reduce readmissions to hospitals and to reduce emergency room visits. We're working to improve the continuity and coordination of members' care between the hospital, specialist, and primary care provider. The methodology that we're applying is Coleman's Four Pillars Transitions of Care model, and that's to a high acuity Medicaid population. And Yvonne will get into a little bit more detail on that. We're also using the IHI's PDSA model for improvement. I'm not sure how many are familiar with that. The PDSA model incorporates planning the project, studying and measuring the outcomes of the project or program, doing or implementing the project, studying and measuring the outcomes of the project, and then examining those outcomes and acting to modify programs to achieve maximum effectiveness or potentially eliminating those programs that are not working. I'd like to turn it over to Yvonne now, who will talk about a specific case study. And please pay attention to the Coleman model and how we're demonstrating that we're using evidence-based programs that are available to us, and then also how we're using the PDSA model to implement that program.
Thank you. So in 2010, Neighborhood performed a survey of our providers and determined that they were not even aware of the members' hospitalization. So therefore, there was no follow-up treatment by the primary care because they didn't know that their patient was even in the hospital. However, with an increase in electronic medical records, so health reform, we expect that the number of primary care providers reporting follow-up of information after a patient has received care at an inpatient setting will increase. Our organization is invested in research in nationally recognized evidence-based programs that can innovatively tackle our actual and potential strategy or strategic objectives. So through our analysis in collaboration with our IS, our medical management, which is really our care management team of nurses and social workers, we determined that there was an increased need to address the issues of high utilization of ER and inpatient stays. So the Coleman model was identified as a potential evidence-based framework that could help us with this issue. So now I'm going to concentrate on the four pillars of Coleman's model. First is the formal medication reconciliation. Coleman's model basically states that, a discussion of all medications that the patient is taking, and this includes over-the-counter and herbal medications, that the member needs or the patient needs to understand these medications and how to take it appropriately because, again, looking at some research, medications are the primary source of readmission. Timely follow-up. Coleman's model believes that, it must be timely, and the potential for relapse of a patient being readmitted is based on the fact if they don't have that follow-up post-discharge, then they could end up back in the hospital as well. Coleman's model also indicates the creation of a personal health record. We call that a PHR. This document organizes the patient's information in terms of the specialists, the providers that they see, the medications, how to use the medication. And this document is very useful for individuals who have language and literacy issues because, again, not being able to speak, going to a hospital or transitioning from a facility to facility, they may not have someone that speaks the language. This document will, in fact, help speak for the patient. Lastly, the improving patient awareness for response to red flags. This is very important because what Coleman's model states is that if a patient is aware of this, of knowing how to manage their conditions and knows the signs and symptoms, they may be able to address that before it exacerbates. So that was the premise of the four pillars. So at Neighborhood, we were unable to really implement a true Coleman model. And that was due to staffing challenges because what we do in care management with our nurses is that we basically truly address a telephonic model. So most of our care management activities are done telephonically. Coleman's model would actually disrupt the workflow of our current day-to-day operations. I will show you in a later slide the actual Coleman model so you could actually see the difference of what I'm speaking to now. Again, Coleman's model did apply to a Medicare population, and they are usually easily accessible, while members of the Neighborhood Health Plan of Rhode Island population is very challenged by homelessness and lack of telephones. So as you can see from this slide, we were able to establish a significant number of high-risk adults to include for our initial population. From this population, we did remove children because we were, at that time, interested only in the adult population. Again, looking at the conditions that we selected, for Neighborhood, the highest incidence of acute medical conditions were asthma and diabetes. We did expect to see these as our targeted conditions. Other conditions did surprise us, but underscore the need for the use of evidence-based data gathering. So from this slide, this is the actual Coleman model. So Coleman's model accommodates a more formal introduction of the program through a hospital and home visit. So that's the key piece because of our staffing challenges, we weren't able to implement that. So for example, Coleman's model has that introduction where you go into the hospital and you meet the patient. Hi, how you doing? My name's Yvonne. I will be, working with you for the next 4 weeks. I will make a visit to your home and follow up with two subsequent telephonic calls. Again, due to our staffing issues, and again, we're largely telephonic, we could not accomplish our objectives with the true Coleman model. In looking at this slide, this is really how we implemented our program. We had strict time frames established for telephonic outreach because we recognize the importance of contacting these patients earlier and frequently to reinforce those four pillars that Coleman really put into his model. Ultimately, we felt that this focus of timely outreach would accomplish our strategic objectives of reducing ER as well as inpatient stays. From this slide, this is basically a case example. A member is in, we call them members at Neighborhood, but patients. A patient is inpatient for diabetes exacerbation or asthma exacerbation. Our nurse case managers will contact them within 5 days of discharge, and we begin educating them at that point. We get a list of their medications. We teach them how to use those medications. We also have a system, because we're the payer, to kind of reconcile their medications. And then what we do is we send a encounter form to the provider. And on that encounter form, we give them a detailed information about the admission, the discharge, the medications, recommendations for follow-up, because we also recognize that this may be the first level of knowledge that the provider had in terms of the patient's hospital stay. So this encounter form might be the first knowledgeable event that they know that their patient has had some kind of inpatient stay. So this was some of the evaluation data that we looked at, and this population that we looked at is our Rhode Health Partners. It's a line of business in Rhode Island. It was 640 individuals that we studied. We are excited to see these outcomes. The readmission rate declined from 44.7% to 31.3%. The ER visit declined from 181.2% to 132.2%. The provider appointments increased. We wanted to see that because that meant that follow-up was happening. And we yielded a $680,000 in savings for both inpatient and ER. And Art will give you the barriers.
So I'm just going to wrap it up really quickly here. The in the ACT phase of the PDSA model, we learned that there was a disincentive for Medicaid patients to use. There was no disincentive for Medicaid patients to use ER because they don't have a copay. So we worked on that. We learned that the home visits were important, an important element of the Coleman model. We learned that language and literacy and financial barriers to access created issues, and we learned that there was a high mobility of our population, so we had to keep track of them. So essentially we added in a home visit component to our model. We're adding in a home visit component so that the first two visits will be an outreach to the patient on a home visit basis, and we feel that the model can be that much more effective by doing that. So it's not quite as in-depth as Coleman's model in terms of personal interaction, but it gives us that leg up so that when we hand it back to the telephonic environment, it's a much stronger case at that point. And a couple of other lessons that we learned is that the coordination of programs between stakeholders creates confusion among members, so we really learned that all of the stakeholders need to be involved in this effort, and that many of our other providers are trying to do the same thing. So we create a lot of confusion with the patients and members because they're being outreached by several different organizations. So we're working to coordinate that, and I guess. Just to finish up, you know, where the other learnings that we've had are that we really want to look at evidence-based research and utilize that and try to find things that work for us that we can modify to work in our environment. I mentioned the stakeholders, and we want to ensure that the transitions of care program helps to improve outcomes and reduce costs. So, thank you very much.